item number three is a report, a yearly report back from DOE, excuse me, a yearly report from DAS on an adopted resolution that authorized and directed the Director of Department Administration to provide an annual county-wide report funded with vacant positions. And this is actually a foundation.
Good morning, Supervisors. My name is Antoinette Thomas Bailey, the DAS Fiscal, and I'll be providing you with some highlights on the report. At the time that the data was submitted from the departments to us on May 5th, 2011, there were approximately 727.5 vacant funded positions. This compares to the 520 vacant funded positions that we had last year in about April. A large portion of these positions are due to, there are 262 FTE related to the adjustment to the salary expense to account for vacancy and turnovers that is budgeted in departments for in the 2011 adopted budget. There are also 108 FTE of vacant funded positions that departments are holding vacant as a tool for budget management. In addition to that, there have been a significant amount of retirements in 2011. From January to April 1st of 2011, there have been approximately 168 county employees retired from county service. As a result of this, departments are using temporary help to fill these positions until they can be permanently filled. 56.2% of the total vacant funded positions have either recently been filled or on continuous recruitment or are currently going through the hiring process. 98.6 FTE of vacant funded positions departments plan to fill later in the year. Again, this is partly due to the large number of retirements using temporary help to fill these positions. We expect that these positions will be filled probably about October or November of this year. There are 14.8 FTE highway maintenance workers that are for temporary assignments for winter work. We expect that those will be filled closer to winter. And then in addition, there are 9 highway park maintenance workers that are vacant. Those are probably filled in about October. I'm sorry, closer to winter. In family care, there are 14.0 vacant funded positions that the department has requested to abolish due to the enrollment cap that the state has imposed in the 2012-2013 state budget. There are 185 vacant funded positions in BHD, of which 160 are either on continuous recruitment or in the hiring process. 93 of these positions are either RNs or nursing assistants. This number has probably decreased dramatically because BHD has been very aggressive in trying to move forward with filling positions. There are 46.5 vacant positions in the sheriff's office that are being held vacant in order to manage their budget, and then they are also in the process of hiring 95. Currently to fill 95 positions.
Supervisor Smith.
Thank you. I appreciate the report and going into this. This is something, again, we're going to have to face in the budget, as I alluded to before. And I guess maybe I'd like to hear from DAS kind of an overall, philosophy is the right word, or what we're going to come into. What's an acceptable percentage? I know when you get... we're very high at 14%, usually versus 8. I know the sheriff's department is 21% of the vacancies, BHD 20% or so, so that's a lion's share of it, of course. I know it's recruitment a lot in BHD, especially with nurses. But we have the unenviable job, of course, of doing the budget and funding all the positions that the departments ask us. So, and like I just made a comment before, I understand we want to give some little flexibility, and, you know, you don't know how many people are going to leave, and there's retirements, but, you know, 14% is a little high, but that's not all departments, I understand that. But what I'm asking is, and I hope I'm asking for the whole committee, and I'll be asking that question when the department gets come up too, is, you know, is this a real number? Now, I don't mind any flexing a little bit. I know you have to balance budgets a little bit, you know. And you rely on vacancies to balance, but I know many departments need that flexibility. But maybe we should be honest about it when we budget instead of trying to hide things and play numbers games. And then we give department, 50 full-time employees. They know they're not going to use more than 40 because they're using it to balance their budget. I mean, it's not fair to us when we're trying to do a balanced budget for our constituents and have a very difficult time, great pressure for zero all the time, et cetera. and I understand the department's under pressure too, but are you looking at that question now? Our budget's basically done. Do we have numbers set in departments? We have goals. Maybe you have to work more with HR. I'm sorry to go on a little bit. I'm almost done. But, I mean, it puts us in a very difficult position. We're trying to be honest with departments. We want to give departments the people they need. But, in turn, we need better numbers. And I know it's easier said than done, but I'd like to hear some comments or what you think about it. Maybe Mr. Farley might maybe want to comment on that, because I'd like to hear that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes. Go ahead.
CJ Paul, the Assistant Fiscal and Budget Administrator. And that's a very good question. And I think right now we're just in a sort of a transition period, and we can certainly look closer at what you're asking. Typically in the budgets, we ask departments to, when they submit their budgets, to do a 3% vacancy and turnover.
Okay.
So that is a readjustment or an adjustment in their salary lines that we request. Obviously, this is a little bit higher. And I do believe that at times, as things change throughout the year, and you may not get as much revenue, people may start to hold their positions vacant because things are, you know, changing throughout the year, and you're trying to accommodate and come in on target. So I think that is another part of the reason. But I think the transition right now is really playing a major role in where we're at this year, with all our retirements and the new administration as well.
I put Mr. Farley on the spot. Thank you. But why not? I
mean, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Pat Farley, DAS Director, I think your comments are well received. And I think in addition to everything that Ms. Paula has said, as we're doing the budgets, we will try to be as accurate as we can and try not to hide any ball and try to be as transparent as possible. I think your comments are right on target, and it's nothing that we wouldn't want to put ourselves or this committee or the board in a position of making false choices and trying to have everything up front.
Thank you.
Supervisor Neal?
Quick question. You see a 3%, so in the budget process, I look at all departments only have 3% vacancy turnover, correct? Or vacancy in the department. And that's your one of your things you look at.
We do request that 3%, and so right. We do look at what departments submit because they may submit more.
3% is the number. 3.5. Okay, here we go. All right.
Sure.
Mr. Hare.
Yes, I hate to be in the position of kind of making excuses for DOTS. That's not what I do for a living. But, you know, we have to remember that one, and I'm going to speak to you as both your auditor and a departmental administrator. We have to remember that in 2011, we've been dealing with the tremendous uncertainty as to what our budget numbers were going to look like based on changes that we adopted in 1950 and 1972. So the vacancies in audit, I say it in my report, plan to fill. But by the end of the year, I'll know whether I can based on those changes and when we achieve them and how we achieve them and if we offset them with furlough days. The other thing that, you know, you adopt the policy of funding positions to go do the people's work, but then you also, at this point in the year, have to think about what's going to happen next year. And I can tell you administrators do not want to hire people in July and turn around and lay them off in November. Mm-hmm. It's a very inefficient and unfair way to approach what we do. 3%, whatever number you use, it's going to have to be pretty much case by case. There are going to be places where if you carry a large number of vacancies, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you in patient care. It's going to hurt you in the ability to achieve revenue. It's going to hurt you in your ability to meet the expectations of the funding sources like family care. I mean, it's going to have to be case by case. I hate to say that because it would be nice if we had benchmarks to work with, but if you've got levy positions where you're saying we can live with less of that for a few years, you might want to go higher. If you've got positions like at VHD where patient care, patient safety is an issue, or even at the airport, where there's an expectation from the people who run the airlines that we're going to provide a certain level of service, maybe you have a much lower threshold of acceptance for vacancies. But I don't think it's a concept of bad budgeting or bad numbers. I think it's the uncertainty that we've dealt with in 11 and the challenge we face in 12.
Mr. Harris.
Yes, Reverend.
Well, okay, let's use the sheriff. Yeah, the sheriff has 11%, now he's 21%. How can you make that justification for that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think that in managing to his bottom line for 11, that's his challenge. But I would suggest that this is an area where if there's levy funding in a non-mandated area, or 12, you need, as the policymakers, to make those hard decisions if the administrators won't.
Supervisor Smith? Yeah, I'm sorry, I have a follow-up based on what you said, Mr. Hare. And that is, well, it's kind of a question for Mr. Riley, and I understand a new administration, a short period of time, all the attempts we've had, we're going to look at a lot of different things in personnel tomorrow, okay? Is there a concerted effort or is there a way to work with HR? I mean, we go through this all the time or for years, you know, how do testing, try to be, you know, bring more people in. You know, we're constantly, we talk about constantly, well, we're going to have to look at, we're in the process of hiring or trying to hire people. Do we see, and then BHD works into this too, and maybe we're going to be talking about raises in that area today, okay? And but that's in a specific area, but you know, maybe we have to look at that to help too. But are we working closer with HR? Is there a way to speed up the process? Is there a way to try to get more people in our pipeline? Because this goes a long way, I would think, to trying to solve the security issue. There's always people we're looking for. I mean, can you comment on that, please, too, maybe?
Sure. I think that one of the things that we have been looking at is how do we have HR structured? How can we improve things to accomplish things that you're talking about? So it's something that we are aware of and are looking at, and how can we more effectively provide HR services to the departments in order to fill the positions with people who, with candidates who are long-term employees rather than short, looking at how we use temporary services, and are we using them in the appropriate manner, and do we need to convert look at permanent hires in some of those positions which aren't really temporary, they're really permanent, masquerading as temporary. So those are things that we are looking at. Do I have a solution right now? I don't, but I hope to soon.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
You would.
This is a classic case of where we've been busy the last several years putting out fires. We're not doing fire inspections and making sure the sprinklers and alarms and fire extinguishers work. We're putting out fires. HR has gone down significantly in terms of its resources, and what's happened is when things bottleneck, we deploy to that area. You all remember the House of Corrections. Significant understaffing, significant out-of-control overtime. HR made a concerted push to get COs hired, and we dealt with that issue. You've seen a similar situation, as Brad said, you've got BHD being very aggressive in filling nurse and other healthcare professional positions, but it's a matter of chasing the next fire, and until we can perhaps use the new flexibility we have in the state law, get the new ideas coming in from the new administration, do some streamlining, you're going to continue to see those kinds of fires flare up throughout the county. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Supervisor Smith. Any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.